How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday. That means my dad will call in and tell a joke for jokey time. Okay. Now, Esmeralda, were you aware that they're actually voting on the next Monopoly token?
I didn't know they were voting.
It says, "Who will the shoe get the boot?"
Oh, I like the shoe.
Yeah, I was always the shoe when we played.
Get rid of that thimble.
No thimble? What are the other ones? There's an iron?
Yeah, maybe the iron, too.
It looks like, from the picture I'm looking at, a top hat.
Oh, right.
A terrier.
The dog, right.
The wheelbarrow. The iron.
Mm-hmm.
A race car. And it looks like a boat of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't get rid of the shoe. You know what I would make it? A chuck.
Oh, sure.
How cute would that be?
Yeah.
And then they would get in on the whole Monopoly game.
Sure.
They could probably make their own Monopoly, like entire Monopoly game. Because doesn't everyone have one now?
Doesn't everyone have what?
Like a themed Monopoly game?
Yeah, there are. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Should they get make a Chuck's one?
Yeah. Hasbro, the maker of Monopoly, is letting you vote on the tokens you want to see in the next generation of the classic board game, dubbed the Monopoly Token Madness Vote. Folks will have the opportunity to select 8 pieces from a collection of 50, including the old favorites like the shoe, the top hat, the thimble, and the Scotty dog, plus new designs like a T-Rex, a rubber duck, and an emoji.
I like the T-Rex idea.
Yeah? What are they specific on what emoji? Because is it the poo emoji?
That is supposed to be chocolate ice cream,
by
the way.
I know. But, you know, tell that to my phone. Because, like, if I'm texting and I type the S word to someone,
it just pops up or what?
Well, what happens is, like, if I type certain words, when I'm done typing them, there's a box around them, they become like almost highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
You can click on that, and then the possible emoji that you can use instead of that word pops up.
Interesting.
That's how it works on my phone. And if I type, you know, the S word, it turns into a box. Click on it, and that emoji's in there. So, if I would like to replace that word with an emoji, my phone has that option. It makes it easy for me. You know, like if I type cry, it'll highlight the word cry. You can click back on it and like the 4 emojis that represent crying pop up and you can choose one of those to put in your text. So I don't know what the emoji is. My favorite emoji is the dude with the teeth. You know what I'm talking about? He's smiling, but it's all teeth.
It's just a very large smile.
Yeah, he's like the big... I actually gave Emily a stuffed like pillow of that emoji.
Absolutely.
The game, which went on sale during the Great Depression, has had 20 different tokens. The thimble, the top hat, the race car, and the boot were among the original tokens in 1933, and others have been added in an attempt to modernize the game. So that's what... Now, what would you put in there, Esmeralda?
I like the T-Rex.
Okay.
And I also like, what was the second
rubber
one?
Duck?
Yes.
And then the emoji. It depends on what the emoji is. If it's teeth, if it's teeth, man, I would.
I feel like the T-Rex and the rubber ducky could be classic. The emoji could die off. And then they'd have to change
it. It's dated.
Yes,
at that point.
Looking at the website, it looks like there's 3 emojis. There's the classic smiley face emoji.
Mm-hmm.
The blowing a kiss that turns into a heart emoji.
Oh.
And then the so happy you're crying emoji.
Okay. No poo?
Not seeing any poo.
See, what they should do is let you customize the emojis. So you get to pick from, like, the whole collection.
Yeah, for your own, like, if you order the game, you should be able to pick
right. The
tokens that you want in your game.
Yes.
That's a good idea. They could make some dough that way. But, like, what if you're just, like, in a toy store and you're like, oh, I want to buy. You see, so you would have to, if you wanted customized exclusive tokens for your Monopoly, you'd have to order it over the Hasbro website.
Yeah. See, Hasbro, I'm making you money.
Look at that. All right. Now, Esmeralda, you don't like Monopoly, right?
I like it until...
You stop playing it.
I start to lose, and then I get bored. Because then I run out of money, and I'm like, well, now I can't do anything.
Right. Well, that's kind of the point of the game.
Yeah, but then people still keep playing.
Yeah.
Because usually you don't play with just one other person.
Not usually.
I think you do a group.
Yeah, usually. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about classic board games. What are some of your favorites, ones that you grew up playing? And I also have a list here of the 12 weirdest board games of all time. Weird board games and more. 312-981-7200. News is coming up next. Oh. Hi. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hi, it's Monday. That means my dad will be calling in to tell a jokey time. And we'll have a Blackhawks Express to play a little bit later on. And it was a very unfortunate weekend for the Chicago Blackhawks. Oh, boy, rough. Yeah, we've got more coming up here. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Coming up at 5 is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And we'll have Steve Cochran at 6. So there you go. All right, let's see. We're talking about the fact that Monopoly is now having people vote on what new tokens or game pieces that you can vote on. And that got us to talking about some of the other great board games or games that you used to play. And we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. And what were some of your favorite games when you were growing up? Now, the 10 most sold board games. Esmeralda, you ready to hear? These are the most sold.
Yes.
Number 10 is Risk. Did you ever play Risk?
No, that's boring.
Risk is not boring. Risk is a great game.
It's the one with the countries?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Dan, Risk fan, are you?
Never played.
What the hell?
I can't deal with games that are longer than maybe an hour and a half. I lose interest real quick, and that thing's real long.
Yeah, well, I mean, you remember the episode of Seinfeld where Newman and Kramer are in an epic Risk battle?
Yeah, no, I can't. No, it's too much.
And the guy from the Ukraine kicks the board when they're on the subway. Yeah, we're playing a game here, pal. All right. Number 9 is Pictionary. That's a fun game.
That I can get down with.
You can get down with the Pictionary?
Yeah.
All right. Are you good at it? Can you draw?
No. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
I draw dogs.
That's right. Only dogs. That's right. Hey, what happened to that? To Esmeralda's?
Yeah.
Got auctioned off. I don't know.
What happened to it? Somebody took it.
Yeah, we had it hanging up in our office.
We had it hanging up in the, I'm looking at the filing cabinet where it was, where we had it, and it's gone. Right.
Either someone was so disgusted by it, and they tore it down, or someone was so amazed by it, and they took it, and now it's hanging in someone's home.
I don't mean to be disparaging, but the portrait of DiGilio is still here. So yeah. Obviously they went for the dog over to DiGilio.
Yeah. Well, that's usually the case in real life as well. All right. We have to find out the mystery of the missing dog.
By the way, I can bust out another one if you
want. No, can you?
Yeah.
Because it was so amazing.
I know, but, I mean, this one might be a little less. But
all right. Well, when you get in here, when you come into the studio, we're going to have you draw another dog.
I may draw you a flower as well.
All right. How about a dog and a flower in one? Okay.
It's going to be double its worth.
All right. All right. Pictionary. That's a fun game. I like that game. All right. Number 8 is Trivial Pursuit. Very popular. Oh, man. I feel like I'm going to sneeze. Hang on. Hold on.
Gesundheit.
Jeez. All right. That was fun. Okay. All right. You got to like Trivial Pursuit, right, Esmeralda?
Depends.
But it depends on what?
I'm not playing the older one, like the originals.
Yeah, like from the early 80s.
Right, because those have just ridiculous 1800 questions. It's like, I don't know what happened in the 1800s.
Right. Well, they continue to update them, don't they?
I think, yeah. I'll do the more those. The modern ones or the TV movie ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do those. But when it's straight trivia, I'm not so on board.
All right. Dan, what about you? Are you a Trivial Pursuit fan?
I do enjoy Gamer 2. Burger Belly at their location on Milwaukee that they're now closing, they actually had Trivial Pursuit cards at the table.
Yeah.
So you could play along while eating your delicious burger.
Yeah. Yeah, they used to have those at we at Ricochet's. When I used to hang out at Ricochet's, we would bust out the Trivial Pursuit cards. God, there was another bar that used to do that, too, and I can't remember where it was. I have the Seinfeld edition and the SNL edition, which no one will play with me.
411.
Oh. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And whenever we played the silver screen edition, remember when they first did the silver screen edition, the movies, everybody would be like, I want to be on DiGilio's team. It's the only time I ever felt wanted in any regard was when we were going to play silver screen trivia. That's the only time anybody liked me.
You know, I think you would be very much on par with V. V's very much into movies.
Yeah.
I think he... Remember I was telling you how he knew all the Air Bud sequels?
See, now that's terrifying because I don't... I mean, you know...
He knew them all by name.
He knew them all by... All the Air Bud movies by name.
Yeah, we were at a trivia night and he... Yeah. He was able to recall all the names of them.
You know, I've told this story before, right? I told you this story, Esmeralda, about the time we played the Factory Theater.
Oh, yeah, the trivia.
Trivia night at Chief O'Neill's. they were so mad because we had a meeting upstairs because Chief O'Neill's was right across the street from the factory. And so we would have our meetings upstairs in the private room. And so we had like a board meeting or something. And then it was like the idea was, okay, we do a board meeting, finish up our factory theater business, and then go downstairs for trivia night. And the thing is that it was kind of a very insular group at Chief O'Neill's, and we were definitely outsiders. So like three teams of idiots from the factory come in. First of all, we made them wait because our meeting went a little bit long, so they didn't start on time. And so you've got all these people who come every week. They all know each other's teams. They're all very friendly, and all of a sudden these, you know, us, a bunch of idiots come in and we're drunk, and we continue to get smashed as the trivia goes on. The trivia night goes on, and then my team ended up winning. And these people were not happy. They were not happy. It was like, what? But the great thing about that is, as you know, Esmeralda, if you play these trivia games, it's good to have someone who's an expert in different, you know, you need someone who's good in history. You need someone who's good, you know.
For sure.
In puzzles. You need somebody who's good with movies or somebody who's good with sports. And we had, that night, we had a collection of people who had great knowledge in several different categories, and we ended up kind of killing the teams, and they were not happy because we're these outsiders who are never there on the trivia night. We show up, we get progressively drunk, like we were doing shots like during the trivia, and you know, like they were like, oh, that's like, these idiots are just going to get drunk and they'll lose, but we ended up winning.
It's like that booze unlocked something in all of you.
Oh, man. But it was crazy. And my friend Manny, at the very end of the night, we're counting the money because we won a bunch of money, okay? So we win like the, I don't know, I think they had like a little trophy or something. I can't remember. But we're counting money. We're splitting the money up that we all won. And Manny is, at this point, Manny's annihilated. He's smashed because it took like 2 hours to play the trivia game. And so he's drunk, and then we count the money. And Manny stands up and says, "You can all eat my crap." Only he didn't say crap. I just remember like, Manny, shut up. We were such morons, I swear. I would have been so mad. I can totally understand why everybody in that room hated our guts. Then Manny stands up and says that. And all the money went right back into the register anyway. You know what I mean? We spent all the money, went right back to Chief O'Neill's. We walked out of there with nothing. So, but yeah, you got to have it. You got to have that varied team, right? And now V plays this trivia stuff, right? But does he know guys and women who are knowledgeable in several different kinds of categories?
No, I've only played with him a couple of times. We actually played in Boston. It was just me and him, and I think we got second place or something.
Wow, that's good.
And he was answering most of the questions.
Uh-huh. All right. Okay, well, we'll get back to board games and also the 12 weirdest board games of all time. And how do you feel about the new game pieces and tokens for Monopoly? 312-981-7200. Let's take a break. Yeah, man. Hi. How are you? Morning, everybody. It's Monday morning. Martin Luther King Day. And, yeah, we're here till 5 a.m. 312-981-7200. We're talking about board games. And they are modernizing, once again, Monopoly and changing some of the tokens to more modern tokens like an emoji or a T-Rex or a rubber ducky. And you can vote on it, too. And we're talking about your favorite games growing up. Let's see. 312-981-7200. 847 area code says, as a kid, I loved the mousetrap game. Yeah, the thing about the mousetrap is that if you lost any of the pieces, it was you were screwed. Because you had to put the whole thing together. We also liked Sorry and, of course, Monopoly. We played a lot of board games as a kid, 847 says. What was the object of Sorry? Dan, do you remember how you played it?
Oh, I can't say that I do.
Esmeralda, do you remember?
I just remember you'd be like, Sorry, and then, like, knock them off.
Knock what off?
I don't know. They're a little play piece.
I just remember that you said Sorry. I don't know how to play.
But you said it in a very mean way because you were just knocking them at. I think it was kind of like you have to get to the end of the board or something, or to the other side.
Yes, the objective is to be the first player to get all four of their colored pawns from the start space around the board, sometimes backwards to their quote unquote home space. Pawns are normally moved in clockwise directions, but can be moved backward if directed. Movement of pawns are directed by the drawing of a card.
And so you can, like, screw somebody over and go, Sorry!
Yeah, I think that was the point.
I know. I just remember in the commercials, it'd be like, Sorry!
Yeah. It wasn't a heartfelt sorry.
I wonder if there's a sorry, not sorry version of the game now.
847 area code says, the Barbie dating game. Do you ever play the Barbie dating game, Esmeralda?
No, I never played any of those.
Not Mystery Date?
No. I remember there was a modern version of it.
Of Mystery Date?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd like open the door and it would be some dork or something, and then you'd go, oh. In Ren and Stimpy, it was Misery Date. They were looking for a board game. He and Svenhoke, the idiot cousin of Ren. Did you ever see that that episode?
Yeah.
Which is maybe the funniest cartoon ever in the history of cartoons. I am so sick of your stupidity. It's the best. And they play Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence.
It's a classic.
Yeah. They end up in hell. You whizzed on the electric fence, didn't you? When the devil says, hey, you whizzed on the electric fence, didn't you? I also love the fact that when Ren whizzes on the electric fence, he's got a zipper in his skin. Do you remember the reason?
Well, they would take it off to shower, I think.
To what? Take what? His skin? His
fur?
Yeah,
his fur.
Yeah, he had a zipper. Oh, you like the game? That is just hilarious. Yep. All right, Tom says, Parcheesi, Sorry, in Michigan Rummy. What's Michigan Rummy? I mean, I'm aware of the card game Rummy.
What's Parcheesi?
Parcheesi is a board game. God, what was the object of Parcheesi? I had Parcheesi when I was growing up.
I've heard of it. I've never, ever, ever played it.
I played it when I was a kid. I don't remember. I can't remember. I had Sorry, and I don't remember how to play that game either. We had a card game that my parents and I got that I loved. It was called Authors. Are you familiar with Authors, Esmeralda?
No.
Dan, are you familiar with the card game Authors?
I am not.
It's one of my favorite. When I was a kid, I loved it. It was card game where you tried to collect four books, so it'd be four cards, four books by a real author. So like you would want all four of them. So it's kind of like I guess it's like, it's like Go Fish, except you're asking if they have a book by an author.
This is some nerd games you're playing.
It's a great game, it's a great game, and it taught. I mean, I knew. Let me tell you something. As a little kid, I would play authors, and by the time we started, in school, talking about writers and stuff, I knew more than anybody in the room. And the game was fun.
Nerd.
It was a lot of fun. It's a card game where you have to collect like matching cards, which is a regular card game. And once you get the set of books, you get four of them, you put them down, they can't be touched. It's like in Rummy in that regard. Like if you get a certain set, if you get like hearts or something, you put them down, no one can touch that, you get those points. That's exactly how you play it, except that you learn who wrote what book. It was a great game. And the artwork on this on authors was beautiful. I mean, they would have like a portrait of the author. And then the title of the book and everything, I remember they were really, really beautiful. We went through like three or four sets of that game, Authors. I played it with my parents. I played it with my friends. I played it with my cousins. That's how I learned, I'm not kidding. I was the only kid in school who knew four different titles of Robert Louis Stevenson. I knew Louisa May Alcott because of it. Mark Twain. I knew at least four books by these authors because I was this little 8-year-old kid playing this game.
Do you get wedgies a lot?
No.
When you were a kid?
That was a cool game, man. My friends and I played it all the time. It wasn't like, oh, the dorks are playing that game.
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm absolutely positive. Absolutely positive. It was a great game. A lot cooler than going, oh, well, you have invisibility. Roll your 9-headed dice. Find the dragon.
I think it's a little on par to that.
No, it's not. Right. No, it's not. What do you learn from Dungeons & Dragons? Nothing. I know about authors as an 8-year-old kid. I knew four books by Robert Louis Stevenson. Nobody knew, everybody, Robert who? And on top of it, it's a cool card game. It's like a classic card game. So that was one of my favorites growing up, was authors. We played that all the time when I was a kid. And I tried to find the car. I remember maybe 20 years ago, I tried to find a deck of authors' cards. And they still make it, but it's not the ones that I grew up with. Like, now they've changed the authors. We're talking about how they're modernizing games and stuff. Now they're, I'm sure Grisham is, if you can get an edition of authors with, Grisham and J.K. Rowling, These were sort of the classic old-school writers. So I don't know if they still make them, but the old school original deck of authors cards that I had when I was a kid, the portraits were beautiful. I just remember they were glossy. The cards themselves were really, they were good looking. They were glossy, and the portraits of the authors were really cool. So yeah, great game. Anybody else remember that one? You guys never played. Well, no, Esmeralda just spent the last 5 minutes mocking me because I played a game that was fun and educational.
That's just in from 312. OMG, I loved authors. I knew all the books, and the authors had written. You are not alone, Nick.
Yeah. This, of course, is coming from the same guy who loved to diagram sentences when he was in school. So, oh, man. Did you ever diagram? We talked about this. Esmeralda, did you ever diagram sentences when you were in school?
No, I'm not a nerd.
No, at school. And, you could not be a nerd, but it's something you have to do at school. It's not like I did eventually end up diagramming sentences for fun, but I originally started doing it in school because they made us do it. So, Esmeralda, did you do algebra? No, I'm not a nerd. Well, you have to, otherwise you're going to get an F.
Whatever.
I'm telling you. So this was a requirement, but I love diagramming sentences. Oh, my God. And I think people who know how to diagram sentences are considered sexy. That's right. Oh, man. Somebody posted, I guess somebody is doing diagramming sentences. I guess they brought it out. They dusted it off, blew the dust off of the diagramming sentences. And somebody posted a post on my Facebook page. Look, it's somebody's diagrammed the sentence. I got very excited. Diagramming sentences is cool, man. All right. Dan, did you ever diagram sentences?
When I was forced to, yes.
Yeah. Oh, you did. They actually had you do it.
Yes.
Esmeralda, did they ever had you do it in school?
I don't remember.
Vic, did you ever have to diagram sentences when you were in school?
Yeah, of course. I enjoyed it.
It's awesome.
It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of...
It's a puzzle, and you got to figure it out, and what goes... It's cool.
You have to look at the big picture, like math. Math isn't fun to a lot of people. It's really about memorization. It's about memorizing formulas.
Yeah.
So.
See, math I hate. I hate math. But diagramming sentences is kind of mathish in that regard, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, we got a break here, and we got the news coming up. All right. Hey, hi. Whoa, hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell coming up at 5. And Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday morning. That means my dad will call in and tell a joke in just a few minutes. We have Blackhawks Express from last night's game. Bad weekend for the Hawks. Maybe they can redeem themselves tomorrow night. But we'll hear the Express coming up. Right now we're talking about board games, games in general, and also how cool it is to play authors and how cool it is to diagram sentences after you play authors. Right, Esmeralda?
I would think you would do it at the same time.
No, that's just too much sensory overload.
Right. Too cool.
Too cool. By the way, the company that I was talking about that released the classic authors cards is Whitman, I think. Dan, can you maybe do a googly? Because I think maybe they've got like the – I don't know if they make the same ones, but I think maybe some of the vintage ones that were made when I was a kid – or maybe they're available on the eBays.
What happened to yours?
I don't know. I mean, it was 50 years ago, 40
years
ago.
But you loved that game.
Yeah, I think I'm assuming that they're probably in a box. You know, I don't play. I live alone. What am I going to play authors by myself?
Yeah, like chess.
Diagram sentences by yourself.
I can. It's the best way to do it is by yourself.
What could be? You should make a whole book with sentences to diagram, and it could be like the new adult coloring book.
Hmm.
Mm. It's like, hey,
but
adults,
then I'd have to teach people. I'd have to teach people how to diagram sentences because it's not taught anymore.
Well, you would do it in the because it's for adults, so they should know.
I don't think so. I think they stopped diagramming sentences a while ago. Although Dan, you said you know you're in your 30s and you diagram sentences.
Yep.
Okay.
Put a little tutorial in the front of the book and then.
Yeah. And then
you should make a YouTube video.
I should.
You know,
we got a chalkboard.
We got a chalkboard. I'm not making this up, and I'm not kidding. I was phenomenal at diagramming sentences, and I was phenomenal at nothing in school. Well, in grade school, I was a smart kid, and that's why I learned how to diagram sentences. I paid attention, and I got good grades. Mm. High school, forget it. I graduated with a 2.2. You know, the only thing I excelled at in high school was writing. That was the only English and writing. That was it. Everything else, I blew it off.
And the author's card game.
And the author's card. I knew my authors, man.
Very quickly. There are sets available. They were made by Whitman, ranging in price from $5 for a single pack open to $50 for a complete set, according to this.
$50 for a complete set?
Yes.
So it's like you would collect sets.
No.
To make one big old card game.
No. The set of cards, they would count on how many cards were in the deck, but there would be different authors in each.
Oh, so they're not varying prices? Like, if you
I would imagine the one that's $5 is used, right? And it's open and used, and it's probably in terrible condition.
Yes.
So
it's not like Pokemon.
It's a card game. It's one single card
you
game.
You gotta catch all them authors.
No. Well, I mean, that's part of the game. You gotta get all the books.
Okay.
But it's not like it's a continuation. It's one set of cards that you use in the game. You know, like Uno, one set of cards. So, you know what board games are? I got weird board games here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We used to play, about 20 years ago, my friends and I used to play a board game I mentioned on the air before called Dealer McDope.
Oh, yeah.
You know Dealer McDope?
No, you talked about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Dealer McDope. We talked about that.
Right. I think I looked it up and it was pretty silly looking.
Well, yeah. It's a pot game. You're supposed to blow weed when you play it. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to
blow. Can you even concentrate enough?
I don't know. We used to do it in my I did not partake when I was a person who partook in mind altering substances like booze and stuff, which I don't anymore. We would do it with booze. When we played Dealer McDope, we would do it with booze because I was never a pothead.
Yeah.
there were potheads in the room. They would choose, like, some guys would blow weed. We'd be sitting at the table, and those of us who
Dealer McPothead,
what Dealer McDope,
Dealer McDope,
Dealer McDope. Uh-huh. Dandy, can you see how much a Dealer
not
McDope
available?
What?
Oh boy!
Because we looked it up the last time,
and it's still not available.
There was three. I'm looking at the current. The last time we did this, there was like three or four available.
You had to brush off
And apparently we created a gold rush for them, and they're all off eater.
People are listening right now. Man, I got to get me a copy of Dealer McDope.
You got to find yours.
Good luck finding your author's cards in 25 minutes when we go off air, because they're all going to be gone.
Yeah. Authors was awesome. Did we only get one text on Authors, Dan?
Oh, man.
I'm surprised.
Sorry to inform you. Yes, only one.
What about texts on diagramming sentences? Do we get any texts on all the cool people that are up diagramming sentences right now?
Did anyone diagram their text?
That's what they should do. Send a text in and diagram it.
No diagramming text.
Maybe what the
they're
hell,
diagramming
man?
Sentences. Maybe you
just you
inspired
and
them.
Yeah, Vic.
And Patty. Actually, Patty likes to do it too.
Patty likes to diagram sentences?
Yeah.
Did Mary? Mary's in the traffic hut now. Mary, when you were going to school, did you diagram sentences? Was that a course that you took?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
See?
English person.
Yeah.
Loved it. You know, my kids who are in their 20s, they did it.
Did they?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I thought they just stopped doing it. I don't know.
No, I'm not sure about my youngest who's 20, but I believe my daughter did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's about 28.
You ever play the game Authors?
No.
Okay.
She sounded offended.
It's a card game. It's called Authors.
Oh no, I would be really bad.
No, you would be good. You would. It's a simple game.
Oh,
but it's like I started playing it when I was a little kid, and that's how I learned who wrote what books at a young age. And on top of that, it was a very cool card game. So it was like fun and educational.
Do they still have it?
Yeah, we were just looking it up online. It's if you Google Authors card game, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, it's
like
great.
That one.
All right, see, Mary likes diagramming sentences.
Oh, nerds.
Mary's cooler than me,
man.
And she likes diagramming sentences.
Diagramming sentences.
It's awesome.
Jeez.
Just, they don't know. All right, what about this game? Camel Cigarettes, the game.
How is it? What'd you have to do?
Die. This game included dice and the letters C-A-M-E-L and corresponding camel cards. Players then attempted to match their rolled letters with a selected card. Smoking is fun, right? In addition, the game came packaged in a giant cigarette hard pack.
Oh, that's kind of fun. I just like the idea of like a big old cigarette packet.
All right. How about Capital Punishment?
Okay.
It's a real board game. Capital Punishment offers four players the grisly job of cleaning up our violent streets. The first player to imprison all felons on death row wins.
Cool.
That's pretty awesome. I like this one. Pain Doctors, the game of recreational surgery.
Well, isn't that just operation?
I don't know. There's what it says. This 14 and older. Oh, you got to be 14. It's a board game that puts your wits and queasiness to the test. As a surgeon, you have to bolster your patient's health before performing numerous surgeries. Meanwhile, competing players are enlisted to make your patient sicker. The patient wasn't the only thing that was sick.
Is there diagrams? Or I wonder, like, how did they make it so
Pain
gross?
Doctors, the game of recreational surgery.
Recreational surgery? Okay.
I got some time to kill. Let's do a little surgery. See, I'm diagramming sentences. Some people are actually performing surgery.
You're diagramming people.
That's right. All right. How about Poppin' Hoppies? Poppin' Hoppies. This trippy game featured spring-loaded, suction-cupped hoppies, which was a dome-headed piece of plastic with eyes. When squashed, they would pop up for players to catch.
Oh, that's cute.
For every caught hoppy, a player received a plastic piece used to assemble a man. The first one to make a whole man was the winner. Hoppin' Poppies.
That's cute, though. I like that.
You like the Hoppin' Poppies?
Yeah, I like that idea.
Okay. All right. There's more crazy games here that we'll get to after we take a break. My dad will call a joke. He'll call in and tell a joke. And we've got a Blackhawks Express. Then we'll wrap up the whole wacky, weird board games. Okay, here's another game for you, Esmeralda.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nuts! Oh, nuts.
Uh-huh. It involves squirrels.
Kids had to sort through identical plastic walnuts to collect an assortment of marbles concealed inside them. Gather three matching marbles and you win.
Seems very involved to just find marbles.
Yeah. And why is it called Oh Nuts?
Probably if someone wins and then you have to go, Oh Nuts!
All right. Margaret in Carbondale says, I loved Battleship, but my sister always cheated. Also, Mystery Date. Okay. 708 area code says, Aggravation is a good game. It's like Sorry, but Aggravation has marbles.
All right.
It had six players, each one getting their own color. If there were only two people, like my sister and I would play, we took three colors each. All right. 708 says Pokino was a great family game. 815 area code says the weird games I played when I was a kid. I love the Mad Magazine game. Oh, I had the Mad Magazine game.
What'd you have to do?
I don't remember. I just remember loving it. I loved everything about Mad Magazine. And Gambler, which is a great show, which is great because it taught kids how to gamble.
Uh-huh. A very important lesson.
815 area code says, oh, and you don't knock D&D.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You got the D&D nerds on you.
Yeah, they're all mad at me now. 414 area code says, how about the game of life? Yeah, life was a good game. Then you could eat the cereal.
Was that the prize at the end of your game?
Yeah, you'd have if you win this game, then you can have a bowl of life.
Uh-huh.
Mikey won't eat it. He hates everything. He likes it. Hey, Mikey. Remember his face blew up because he had Pop Rocks and Coke?
Yes.
You remember that? Mikey's face exploded because he drank Pop Rocks. He ate Pop Rocks and had some Coke, and his face exploded.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
True story, man. That's not a lie. That's not urban.
No, I believe you.
Check Snopes.
I believe you. Just,
his face exploded because of Pop Rocks and Coke. Robert said he loves Battleship. Battleship was a popular game. 847 says, what about Gooey Louie from 1995? You pull boogers out of his big head.
Oh.
And then one booger would make his brain pop out.
These are some very masochistic. Masochistic or sadist?
That's sadistic.
It's sadistic.
Yeah. Masochistic is when you're hurting yourself.
Oh, okay. So if someone was
I knew that.
Louie.
You know why? Because I diagrammed a sentence with the word masochistic in it once. I'm kidding.
I'm sure you did.
Tom from Norwood Park says, I went to a Catholic grammar school and I diagrammed sentences and played authors. I love them both and I'm in my late 50s now. See? See?
You guys could have been friends.
That's right.
Best friends.
815 area code says, I love diagramming sentences, too. See?
You guys could have had a play date where you all just diagram sentences, and then you play authors.
It would be awesome. How about this one? Here's a board game for you. I want to bite your finger. Time is of the essence in this vampire-inspired dice roller in which players have to hope Dracula doesn't wake up.
Okay, I was expecting that you would have to bite someone's finger.
Taking turns ahead. They move the hands of the clock. Inevitably, the vampire electronically wakes up to claim his next victim, your fingertip. Doomed players must stick your finger in the mouth to receive twin bites from a red marker.
Oh, my God.
That sounds fantastic. Dan, before tomorrow, can we find out if that's available on the eBay? I want to bite your finger.
I wonder if it makes noises, like it talks to you. And bring me your finger.
That sounds fantastic. All right.
Yours for $99.99.
Oh, are you kidding? It's $100 bucks?
Well, you know, it's electronic and all that.
Is it electronic?
Well, he's got to pop up and bite your finger.
Okay.
Doesn't he?
I don't know. I'll check it out. We'll have to find out the details. Let's find out what's happening on the opening bell with Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, so is it spelled Vaunt with a V?
Yes.
That's outstanding.
Yes.
That's good stuff.
Yep.